Good evening, councillors.
Good evening, Mayor.
Hello. Hello, Mayor.
Notice of the meeting, Tuesday, 17th of February 2026, to councillors in accordance with the local government meeting procedures, regulations 2025. Notice is hereby given that an ordinary meeting of Central Highlands Council is scheduled to be held in Council Chamber Bothwell on Tuesday, 17th of February 2026, commencing at 5 p.m. with the business of the meeting to be in accordance with the following agenda paper. In accordance with the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2025, Part 2, Division 1, a notice of the meeting was published on the Council website on 2nd of January 2026. The General Manager's certification pursuant to Section 65(1) of the Local Government Act 1993, I hereby certify with respect to the advice, information and or recommendation provided for the guidance of Council in this agenda, that A, such advice, information and or recommendation has been given by a person who has the qualifications or experience necessary to give such advice, and B, where any advice is given by a person who does not have the required qualifications or experience, that person has obtained and taken into account the advice from an appropriately qualified or experienced person. Section 65(2) forbids council from deciding any matter which requires the advice of a qualified person without considering that advice. Dated on the 12th day of February 2026, Stephen Mackey, the General Manager. You have your order of business on your agenda. The meeting commenced at 5 p.m.
Excuse me, Mayor, can I make one comment? I've had people say to me that they've listened to the audio and this is hard to listen to. And hard to understand. It's just a few people have said to me about it. That first part that you read. So I'm just wondering, do we need to put it in?
Oh, yes.
You've got to have it in, whether you need to read it.
Oh, right. Yeah, but just to let you know that a couple of people have said to me that they've tried to listen to it, but it's very hard to understand on the audio.
Yeah, okay. Thank you for that.
That's right.
Audio recording disclaimer. As per Regulation 43 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2025, audio recordings of meetings will be made available to councillors, staff and members of the wider community, including government agencies, at no charge, and will be made available on council's website as soon as practical after each council meeting. Unlike Parliament, council meetings are not subject to parliamentary privilege, and both council and the individual may be liable for comments that may be regarded as offensive, derogatory and or defamatory. Thank you. The Mayor advises the meeting and members of the public that council meetings, not including council closed sessions, are audio recorded and published on council's website in accordance with council's policy 2017-50. The Mayor also advises that members of the public are not permitted to make audio recordings of council meetings without prior approval being granted. Councillor? Acknowledgement of country. I'll acknowledge and pay respect to the Tasmanian Aboriginal community as the traditional owners and original owners of this land, past, present and future. The conduct of the council meeting. Central Highlands Council takes safety seriously. We have a duty to ensure that we provide a safe workplace for our employees, councillors, contractors and members of the public while present at council workplaces. These premises form part of the council's workplace, and it is expected that everyone who attends council meetings will behave in a polite and respectful manner. People should refrain from using offensive or derogatory language or comments and not be aggressive, threatening or speak in a hostile manner. Those present, myself, Deputy Mayor Allwright, Councillor Miller, Councillor Archer. Forrester, Councillor Honour, Councillor Meacham, Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Triffitt, Councillor Hall, the General Manager Stephen Mackey, Executive Officer Katrina Brazendale, and in the gallery is Damien Vesta.
Is that all?
So we obviously have no apologies. Consideration of supplementary items to the agenda. May I have a mover? Councillor Cassidy. Councillor Allwright. Any comment, Councillor Cassidy?
Nope.
Councillor Allwright.
So we should move the supplementary notice of motion to item 12.
Yeah.
Just get them all done with the ones.
That's good.
So move the supplementary to item 12.
I'll do that once we're in notice of motions.
Sorry?
You'll need a motion once you're in notice of motions to bring it forward.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
All righty, back to Councillor Cassidy to close. Oh, sorry, I didn't ask councillors. Any comments, councillors? Okay, back to Councillor Cassidy to close. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. That is carried. Three is declaration of pecuniary interest and conflict of interest for councillors and staff. Do we have any, please?
I have one in the closed meeting.
So the GM in the closed. Thank you. Anyone else? No. Alrighty, 4.1 minutes. Confirmation of draft ordinary minutes of the council meeting on the 20th of January. Mover, please. Councillor Meacham, Councillor Hall. Any comments, Councillor Meacham?
No, thank you, ma'am.
Councillor Hall, any comments?
I've informed Katrina that she's put me in the last month's meeting.
That's in this.
Oh, that's in this one, isn't it? Yeah, no, that's fine.
All good?
Yeah, I'm just.
All right, back to any other councillors? Back to Councillor Meacham to close?
No, all good. Thank you.
Thank you. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. And that is carried. Very good. Business arising. January 2026 council meeting. Mover, please. Councillor Honour. Second of Councillor Hall. Any comments, Councillor Honour, as a mover?
No, everything is progressing.
Councillor Hall?
No.
Councillor Laws? Councillor Meacham?
Something that I'll flag is 8.3, I think, and this becomes obvious later in the meeting, that progress on the Central Plateau Telstra service is probably going to take us beyond March.
Okay, Doug.
20.7?
Yes, probably.
Okay. Rightio, Councillor Honour, would you like to close?
Yep, that's fine. Nothing to add.
Thank you. Those in favour, please raise your hands. Right. Those carried. Closure of the meeting to the public. May I have a mover, please? Councillor Cassidy. Councillor Miller. Any comments, Councillor Cassidy?
No.
Miller?
No.
Councillor Laws? Okay. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Carry. Good evening again, councillors and gallery. We've got Stephen in the gallery now. There's Larry. We'll reopen the meeting at 6 p.m. Number 8 was the public release announcements. Where are we? Those others weren't they, Katrina?
Yes.
Have you got them to reel off, Katrina? I'll have to go through my bookwork for those.
2.1 was that the minutes of the closed session of the ordinary meeting of council held on the 20th of January 2026 be confirmed. 5.1, General Manager's performance criteria, that the information be received.
Thanking you for that. Information received. Okie dokie. Number 9, notification of council workshops held. And you would have read all that. 9.1, future workshops, 10th of March, Bothwell, 9 a.m. 10, public question time. Sorry?
It's meant to be 6.
What's meant to be 6?
No, that's okay. I thought you meant 10 a.m.
Oh, okay, yep. 10 was public question time. Do we have any questions from the gallery?
No, not yet. Not this way.
Thank you. 11, petitions, deputations, presentations. 11.1 is petitions. Nil. Deputations is Dewan Catchman, Eve and Aledia, is it? Aledia? At 6:15, so obviously not quite yet.
And we also have Damien Mackey coming as well.
And we've got Damien Mackey. What time is Damien arriving?
6:30.
It's 6:30. Okie dokie. Damien Mackey, 6:30. Presentations, nil. Notice of motions. You would have read all that. Notice of motion, Councillor Cassidy. He's moved a motion. A seconder, please. No seconder for that motion. Councillor Honour. Alrighty. Pardon me. Councillor Cassidy.
I don't have anything to add to that except... yeah, I don't have anything to add to this. It's fairly self-explanatory. You can see... in the past, there's been problems. There's photographic evidence provided for the notice of motion. You can see that vehicles can't get past these oversized vehicles. They hold us up on the road. So basically wanting to get state roads to start working on the road, perhaps widening it or providing some sort of a passing lane or slow lane for these trucks so everybody else can continue on their merry way. And the other, the bottom portion of that, as you know, that section of the road above Lower March's intersection, about 1.5 kilometers up or so, it's already starting to sink again, even though they've already repaired it tonight. Provided a lap long where it's located. And I was just hoping that perhaps I can get yourself, Mayor, and the GM to write to State Roads.
Thank you. And I did have a recent conversation with Minister Bingham about this as well, so it's not being ignored. So, Councillor Honour, you're the seconder. Do you have any comments?
Yeah, it definitely needs something doing, even if it's only sealing the sides, the edges, where they do the edge breaks and that. They need repairing very badly because there's drop offs on them all.
Yeah. Alrighty, Councillors, Councillor Meakin.
There was locals that voiced concerns about the inadequacy of the edge, the margins. If you went off, they need new arc barriers put along there rather than the present wooden posts with cables on them. They're near to useless. Mm-hmm. A motorcycle would not come up, let alone a car. Jim, sorry.
Yep, Councillor Miller.
With the I've seen the photos and looking at them, you're talking about the subsidence. I'm just wondering whether there's an underground creek or something running through there, because that's normally one of the things that with the subsidence. So if they don't recognise that, it's going to subside all the time. So maybe we look at that, see if there's anything there that shouldn't be there.
Thank you. More the drainage issue on that section.
And there was a GO engineer, whatever we call it. It's already been there. Councillor Orrock and Archer.
So there's straight section around Lower Marsh Turnoff. So that probably just wants a big passing bay putting in there for the truck. So this side of the bridge is good straight section and it's flat, so the trucks wouldn't have much effort in starting up again.
Yeah.
You can't build one on the Den Hill, they're not going to be able to stop and start again. So that would probably be the key sort of thing,
Councillor Archer.
Well, just to speak to the motion, Mayor, I think it's one of the things that. It's a very important piece of infrastructure for our community. There have been deaths on that road, not recently, but there have been some terrible crashes. And I think we need to do what we can to make us bring it up to standard. It's certainly not standard now. It's well below what would be acceptable. If council were doing that road up, we would be forced to do the barriers. If we were doing other works, we would be forced to widen it. And it's really not up to scratch. And I think I agree with Councillor Cassidy. We need to make as much lobbying and noise as we possibly can to try and get a better outcome. In regard to the wider road is subsiding, we owned a farm next door to where this was happening, and it had submersible clay colloids in the soils, and so they weren't stable. And things could be done to fix it, but the temporary arrangement they put in place isn't, in my view, going to address it. But that's what they have geoengineers for. They'll solve all that.
Okay, thank you.
I'm speaking in support of the motion.
Thank you. Any other councillors' comments?
The council, the state government has just handballed it to the wind farms, wouldn't they? They're not going to spend any money, they've got no money.
Well, part of the problem, if you're talking about guardrails, you can't put them on the bottom side because there's nowhere to put them.
Yeah.
You can't put them in fresh air. So you end up having to dig into the bank once you start doing that. And even the section you're talking about, Councillor Allwright, there's land acquisition that's got to go through the process, and it all takes time.
No, anyway, well, Dan to be corrected, but anyway, that'll be the easy one to get the flat area past the stopping lane for the big trucks.
Okay, any other councillors? Rightio, back to Councillor Cassidy to close.
Yeah, so I don't want to say anything, but to Yvonne, that issue there where it keeps falling in, it's been that way as long as I've been here in Bothwell since 2009 and before, and it's a problem with the base of the road, and you're right, it's a drainage problem, clay problem. I actually wrote to them, they have these humongous concrete culverts that could be put in place as a bridge and sealed over. And that would solve the drainage problem and solve that section there. But I'm not an engineer. I don't work for State Roads, but it needs a permanent fix. This patch was just done, what was it, March of last year, I think? Kerry sent me Minister Vincent sent me an email, a letter. And, I thank him and all of that, but, geez, it already is falling in. Now, the more heavy vehicles we have crossing over this, let's say for the wind farm construction vehicles and so forth, it's only going to get worse. And anyway, I've said enough on it, and thanks for your support.
Thank you. I'll put the recommendation forward. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Mr. Duffy, that is carried. And thank you for the photos, Councillor Cassidy.
And the old one.
The next one is a notice of motion by Councillor Cassidy, and the seconder, please.
I'm thinking that I need to make a correction on this notice of motion, so I think I'm going to withdraw this based on the correction that is needed.
Okay.
Based on information
so
that
we just withdraw the motion?
Yeah,
withdraw the motion. Hello,
everyone.
So we're withdrawing Councillor Cassidy's motion.
And thanks, David, for the...
We don't need to do anything more then? No.
Withdrawn.
That's good, thanks, Councillor Cassidy. The next motion is Councillor Cassidy. A mover, do I have a seconder? Councillor Miller. Alrighty, Councillor Cassidy.
Madam Mayor, did I miss something? Which one? Let's see here.
12.3.
I'm lost in space. Yeah, so I had picked up something in the Mercury about the Integrity Commission. They were basically sandbagging smaller councils, I felt.
And I know you're talking about the wrong one.
Which one?
Yeah, this is the 40 kilometre.
No. That's already been withdrawn.
No, the one you withdrew was the...
No, this is the ABC. It's the kilometre, the precinct, and the...
No, it's on about the front. So withdraw that one and start again next month.
Could I speak as the chair, please? Councillor Cassidy, this is the motion that's got ABC to it.
I'm sorry, I screwed that up. I was one ahead of you. I was looking at that 40-kilometer one. That's the one that I want to withdraw because there's an error in that. I'm sorry.
Well, you've withdrawn both now.
No, not both.
No, we'll go back and revisit the one, the review of gifts and donations policy.
Yeah.
That's still stands.
So, just a moment, let's get the book straight. This is withdrawn now.
The next one is... 12.2 is going to be debated. We're going to need to get a seconder. 12.3 has been withdrawn.
So 12.2 is no longer withdrawn.
No, that's correct.
I'm sorry for that. I got ahead of myself.
That's okay, as long as we get our books right. So it was moved by Councillor Cassidy. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Miller's the seconder. Okey-dokey. Rightio, it's the gifts and donations policy, Councillor Cassidy.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm back at it again. I picked up an article there in the Mercury, and it was about the Integrity Commission. I felt that they were unfairly sandbagging smaller councils, and I don't think that they are actually seeing this reasonably. And I made a submission to them in that vein. But I do think that we have a responsibility to our ratepayers and residents of the municipality and state government and the Integrity Commission that we need to always look like we have integrity. we're clean and clear. You know, you recall some years ago some councillor had taken a very expensive bottle of wine and all of this stuff. You know, I don't think that we want to go there. So I think that we need to review our gifts and donations policy, and if we have anything that we need to declare, I think the limit is $50, Stephen, is that correct? Above 50, we have to declare.
For sure.
Yes, it is.
But I think it's probably appropriate to declare anything, even if it's half that. Just to give the public confidence that we don't have our snouts in the trough. You know, we're here, we're hardworking, you know, and so forth, and I just want to have a little bit of a pushback there on the Integrity Commission on this one. So that's all I want to say about that. You guys can look that information up yourself, either on the Integrity Commission's website or it's here in the attachments as well.
Thank you, Councillor Miller. You're the seconder.
Yeah, I agree with this. If we want to keep our nose clean, well, seem to be keeping our nose clean, and although I haven't heard of anyone getting donations since I've been in, since I've been here, but it doesn't mean that it can't happen. So that, yeah, maybe we have to look at this gift and donation policy, and I don't think it's one we haven't done for a while, is it?
That would be up to the GM to go through the policy.
When is it normally due?
Councillor Archer's waiting to speak. Please put your hand up if you would like to speak. Councillor Archer, then Meach, and then all right.
Councillor Miller addressed my question. I think we've got a policy on this anyway. I don't think we need to reinvent the wheel. We've got one that's already on the statute. I don't know why we're doing it again. So how long since it's been reviewed? If it's 10 years, yep, let's do something about it. But that's not, because we have to do it every time anyway.
I think it's more the point that the Integrity Commission are doing a review, and they're having a shot at predominantly small councils who don't seem to be having a register that's got very much in it. If you see what I sent out this afternoon, you'll read that the LGAT are having a bit of a shot at that and making it quite clear that there could be a real reason why small councils don't, and that's because there's less opportunity there for it to occur. So the LGAT are making a submission, so if we've got any comments, we should back up on what they're saying, I think.
Councillor Meacham, then, all right.
Steve, you covered pretty much the same ground as me. I know the Leggett recommendation that smaller councils, we don't deal with recurrent big capital projects where, you know, donations might be ease the passage of things through. We just don't have, and they make that point really well in their submission. So, yeah, Bowman's, I don't know whether you invite comments to go back to the review group.
Look, I think that's probably the best way we can go, is to actually respond back to them, getting them to make sure they put that in or strengthen that point.
Yeah.
Thank you, Councillor. All right.
So last time I was quiet, although put me 2 or 3 years ago, there's three items. I've been on council 15 years. There's three items on that gift of and I'd be concerned about a monthly register. Christ, what are we going to just waste that many trees filling out a monthly register with nothing on it? So that's like, I think we've got a policy. It's probably due in a couple of years to move up there.
I'm just looking at the schedule.
You could look up, David.
Okay. David, any other councillors to speak? Goes back to Councillor Cassidy to close.
31st, 12:25. Is that
the one? No, they've done it.
There you go.
Councillor
Cassidy to close.
So I think that we can reassure, and I think that we should reassure the Integrity Commission that we've reviewed our policy just recently. That our council, in how many years, Jim, did you say there was only three?
I've got this information from the Deputy General Manager just 2 or 3 years ago.
So I think that we should respond back to the Integrity Commission and to LGAT to let them know, that we've already reviewed this.
Yeah, we have.
No, take that back. It's to be reviewed. I've just been informed.
To be reviewed. If it's to be reviewed, then I think we should review it sooner than next term, for example. I think we should look at it.
Councillor Cassidy has closed, so I'll put the recommendation forward. Those in favour of the recommendation? Okay, those against the recommendation?
As long as we don't have a monthly
register. Would you not interrupt while I'm trying to chair, please? Councillor Archer, you're against?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Councillor Archer's against. Rightio. So obviously it passes.
I think we need to update the motion.
Yeah. Are we going to suspend so that...
Yes, suspend for
move the agenda or I'd like to move the agenda.
It was to be on now anyway.
Yeah. Ladies, how are you? Yeah, good. Would you like to join us, please?
Yes.
So we all know Eve and
Later.
I did not pronounce your name properly.
No, that's all right.
I apologise. Later.
I was under the desk for something for like 15 minutes, so please feel free to type in the article. Talk amongst yourselves.
So, Steve, do we have a move for this? To move back?
To suspend standing orders now.
Could I have a move, please? Councillor Machen, Councillor Cassidy. Those in favour, please raise hands. Thank you.
Hold on.
This man in the audience.
Yes. All good.
Move my budget item along for teleconferencing. It was only a cool 10,000, was it, Steve?
Yeah, it was.
After we had the audit meeting, you know, we had problems with that. We had another one up last Thursday, and we had problems with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. So, thanks for having us just to come up and give you a little update on the project. So it's pretty exciting because obviously things are happening, but we just walk you through a little bit of context and then a little bit about the approach, and then we have a chance for questions. So just as a reminder, obviously we managed to get some funds from the Disaster Ready Fund for a 3-year project, and it's specifically looking at flood resilience. So really we're looking at willows and debris blockages, getting them out of the river, thinking about those erosion areas and some targeted revegetation. It's very much a phased approach over the 3 years. So, as you know, it's meant to do these things in a staged way. So we'll give you a little breakdown of how that looks. Oh, you ready? That's good. Obviously, just context again, we have national significance, really choke river systems and stagnate flows, create bog jams and definitely worsen flood impacts. So yeah, it's one of those things that when you get the force of water through and the water rises and the willows break down as they do, they cause these rafts, and then you just have, you know, serious consequences for damage. And obviously they affect water quality a lot. So this is the Clyde, obviously, and the red give you an indication of the willows and the amount of area that they take up across that river system, which is quite substantial. Mm. So, you know, it's a serious long-term issue. We know, I found an amazing picture of Beansfield, actually. Some of you might have seen it on the Tasmanian Postcards Facebook. I don't know if you follow that. It's really cool. And it had a picture of Beansfield from 1930. And back there you could see the river flowing, and it had these like vegetation buffers on the side of the river, and you could just see the whole river. And whereas now we're going to try and find the same photo point, but it's essentially just completely choked. So it's interesting that even in that time, so we're talking from 1930 that photo was taken, so you can imagine that there would be maybe some river clearing after that, and then the willows have come in. So we could be looking at like 60, 70, 80 years worth of willows on the river system in some places. So we've obviously chosen Croker's Alley as the first management zone. There's around 700 metres of river through here, and sorry, there's a mistake there, it's not St Andrew's Bridge, it's just Andrew's Bridge, but we're looking at, so there's been some former control in spots, some really old bits, and there's some quiet stuff that's a little bit fresher. There's lots of woody debris in the river to be removed, and there's massive big, yes, monster willows. there's also some woody weeds that need controlling and some restoration plantings. The picture here just shows you the area that we're tackling, and just to point out that there is that sort of geological choke point north of Bothwell. So when we're considering removing the willows through Croker's, the reason is explicitly to pull the plug out of that area so that we can get the water to flow more freely through that channel. The choke point there is, so it's actually like, it's geological in that it's sort of, you're not going to be able to do anything with that unless you use explosives to make that a bigger area for the water to come through. So that water does back up north of that choke point naturally, but what happens is as that flow comes in and the willows will choke through Croker's, then it just obviously creates flow difficulties and eddies and comes around and then just stagnates as well. So the idea would be if we can remove all those willows, we can get the water channels to be back, that water will carry, that there'll be better oxygen in the river, that and we use the targeted revegetation to help build some deep-rooted natives in that site as well, to help give the site some stability over time. So really, in how we're tackling it, we're just sort of trimming all the branches and mulching where possible. I don't know if anyone's walked down to Crocus to see where the work is happening, but they're trying really hard to be neat. It's a very difficult job, but they're doing it. They are. We just went down and saw some landowners nearby who were really happy with how it's going. The idea is obviously to trim the branches and stack the stumps, so the larger logs, and then cut and paste the actual stumps of the willows. And we are just tackling the willows that are in the river. So we're trying to leave them still there for amenity purposes. But we really do need to get everything out of the river, because that's the problematic part. And then taking out the log jams, burning and mulching debris. So there'll be a bit of a combination of those things, but we're trying to limit the amount of disturbance. So really, we're also looking at using hydro mulch. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's pretty cool, because it's like a lot of the contractors use it for roadside management, and it's that when you've got disturbed ground, there's a machine and it mixes up cellulose pellets and water and seed, and often you put in an annual, quick-growing annual, ryegrass that's sterile, so it only comes up for a season, and then it gives you the ground cover, and then you can put some poa and other native, like particularly poa grass, which takes longer, so it's like 2 or 3 years before you start to get it to come through. But the idea is that you've got a bit of a crossover with ground cover and something else coming up. Because there will be dirt, ground, there'll be bare ground, and that's obviously where you get thistles and more other issues, so we're just trying to manage that the best we can. The vegetation islets is an idea where you build cages, really, essentially, and put the natives in the cage where you can put more than just one. So we'll do a bit of a mix. We're going to try and invest in some bigger older trees, more advanced plants, and then we'll do some stuff from our nursery as well. Obviously, just keep maintaining that with some native species and be back into the site, which would be really great. So sorry, this is probably really difficult to see, but it's a big river. You can see in the green and the major map there the sites that have been selected. The rationale for those site selections are in the plan that hopefully has been circulated. And that is essentially where are they causing the most blockage and the most flooding-related concerns. And so we've really done a bit of a big look at the whole river, looked at all of the areas where there's key points, worked with the landowners to understand where their pain points are in terms of what's the worst bit, what would you like to see gone? We have to share the money and look at the whole river system.
Can I ask a question? So if my memory serves me correctly, just remember I only got two marbles after you have. I thought the flood report that pointed to a choke point just south of Andrews Bridge, on Fowler, but you didn't have it mentioned on that map.
Sorry, that's there as well as one of the sites. It's in when we dig into deep.
That's clarified.
The Crocus one we were just showing is where we're starting. This map is more comprehensive about the whole area. If you want to have some... if you'd like some detail, it's definitely in the plan. There's a lot of detail there in maps, but
was the point, I think, that one start south of Andrews Bridge contributed significantly to flooding in Bothwell rather than the whole,
It seems that there's multiple things that contribute to your point's totally right. We will be moving down and taking the stuff that's south.
River narrows in at the end.
That's right. So basically, we're looking at all, you can see there, the different properties and what's being considered as priorities. It's huge, and we wish we could do more. And I think I've said to you when we were speaking about this a long time ago, part of the nature repair pilot that we've got coming, so the $10 million to create a bunch, basically to prioritise projects and have investment portfolios for nature repair, where we're talking about 20-year programs. That's where we're really hoping that we can go with this. So whilst this is a toe-dip of an immediate issue, which is how can we get the water to flow better in some spots that are key issues, the idea is that we can see something much more significant for the Clyde going forward.
So, thank you. I know you haven't got anything close to Hamilton, but I don't know whether you're aware, down by that camping area, there's willows there, and there's a sharp bend in the river. And I've noticed over the years that I've been there that that bank on the outside is getting eroded quite significantly due to the water being choked by the willows on the other side, and it's coming around it. And I noticed the other day that there was another bit of a landslip there, and there's a house just above it. So have you had a look at that area?
Yeah, I think the thing with what we've done, we did that 1 kilometre stretch above Platypus Wall, because it initially for a while ago. But yeah, looking at the broader river, there's a lot to do.
Yeah,
so yeah, I think, and we've just tried to choose the sections that are in the most need. Mm. Leila, did you got anything to add to the Hamilton site?
Yeah, we did have a look there.
Yeah, no, I was just concerned about the water racing around there and
yeah,
doing that and taking away that bank.
Yeah, the thing with that is because we did look at that site and we stood on the top and looked down. There are quite a few areas like that which need more than just willow removal.
Yep.
And then we have to start thinking: if we take the willows out, are we going to make it worse? So in that situation, I think that probably warrants more of a look.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of areas where we've sort of had a look, like we could do amazing things here, but it's a lot more, let's not put too quite a money to stabilise, especially big areas like that. And yeah, in that area that you're talking about.
Okay. And we've got some other areas, like, so particularly on Meadsfield, where there's just really full-on erosion.
Yeah.
It's been there for quite a long time. So it's that thing about matching the flood, so the water moving, and then debris blockages. The erosion bit we can tackle slightly, but unfortunately not.
Yeah, because I noticed that when I first came to Hamilton, we had a flood down that way, and someone had packed a big bonfire further up by the weir, and it ended up down by the camping ground. And it was removed. I think council did remove it, but there's still a lot there.
Yeah, council has to be remote councillors.
Yep.
And then councillor Archer.
Hello. I've got to three little bits here, and I want to touch sort of on some of what I wanted to ask. Looking at all of the areas that you're cleaning up or you're focusing on for willow removal, what is the risk of erosion of the banks and the banks falling into the river, blocking the river? That's one question. The other question, you were talking about oxygenation of the river, and I wanted to find out if you had seen very much evidence of silt in the river. Just recently, there was a water release up at the top there, and somebody had called me and told me that it's just nothing but silt, black water, coming out because the lights are so low up there. So I would imagine that would probably flow further, downstream, and maybe adversely affect the biodiversity. So I wanted to get your thoughts on those two points, and the third one I'll hold just for you until you're done.
Sure. So the riverbank, I mean, the work that we're doing, we've tried to, again, that's been considered erosion risk potential for all those sites. So that's part of the lens that we've looked at in terms of making the decision matrix, which is quite rigorous. What's the erosion potential for removing it? So it's mostly sites where we're working in the river, like we said, where we're trying to remove things that are blocking the river directly. So the banks, this river's been altered for a really, really long time, so there is always a risk, but we're not operating on banks that are really steep. That's been considered. So it's a lot of, we're working in areas where it's lower lying, there's particularly in some areas rocky bottoms, and it's just about removing the actual obstacles. And then second point, I can't really speak to that so much, sorry, Councillor Cassidy, because that's a bit of a, that's a lakes water management concern. Like, I think there's a whole raft of information there which we actually have in the plan. We've summarised what happens with the Lake Crescent Sorrel management and the river management and the Clyde Trust and stuff, and that's really out of the remit that we have in this. It's much more, we're just focused on getting the river to flow as best as possible in the areas.
So the other point I wanted to make, you were talking about the weed of national significance, and I was wondering, isn't that grown at Fontville?
Sorry?
A controversial thing that you said this evening that I hadn't heard before, is it not your intention to take the willows other than those in the river channel? And the second thing that I'd like to raise is, looking at those maps, there doesn't appear to be a cost-benefit analysis done. So that if you take out willows in one area, you might get 1 hectare's benefit. In others, you'll get several hundred hectares for the same dollar spent. So there doesn't seem to be, and exclude the township, of course. You know, we leave the township out of it. You know, that's a given. But if we look at properties, how many hectares you actually save as opposed to the removal cost of the willows?
So number one comment is we were explicitly talking about just Bothwell in terms of managing public expectation of what
that's good.
We'll look at.
So thanks for the clarification.
So Ros, who owns property close by, so we've been working with her and it's been quite a process to get her to be part of the program. Part of her concerns were about taking all of the willows from the whole site and other people as well. So we're working on community feedback in that regard, and the willows, this is essentially one part of a multi-phase project. So we're wanting to do it in stages, and the biggest thing that we're talking about is creating capacity for the river to flow. The willows on the outside of the river itself don't impact that. So the resources we're trying to spend, and this is different to farms, where if we're working with people, we can be more, it's less about visuals and amenity, it's much more about just function. So there's a bit of a two-pronged approach in terms of the visual amenity of Crocus Valley and the expectations of community still have some shade there and shelter for the next little while, versus working on a farm property situation where people are happy for a section to be removed entirely off or in stream. The second point is that we don't have a capacity to do a cost benefit for hectares. It's much more about fulfilling the grants obligations, which is dealing with choke points, debris, blockages, and areas where there's just impediments. So it's the money's being used. The rational approach was, how does this impact the river to flow in specific places that are having knock-on effects for flood, for landowners, and the community in Bothwell? So the whole reason we're doing this is, under the auspices of the DRF, that's what they're wanting to happen, and that's what we've created, is a project that looks at the cost-benefit in terms of, will the river flow better if we do this work? And we obviously don't have enough to do the whole river, so we're doing, we've considered landowner input, we've considered community input, and then we've considered the science and the hydrology.
Okay, thank you, Eve.
Just some of the quickies. So, yeah, please feel free to have a look down there. The contractor, Richard, is experienced with river management. We've got someone on our team who's also an excellent arborist and has done a lot of felling, and a bunch of other great team members that are coming along. So they're trying to keep it as neat as possible. Obviously, it always is a little bit confronting to begin with, but it's really encouraging for us to hear really good feedback from the community, and particularly those that are closest to the works being happy with how it's progressing. So we're feeling pretty pleased that it's on its way to start off as, it's going well, we're getting good feedback. And, these programs are complex. There's no one else in Tasmania tackling whole river complex you know, flood mitigation. Lots of people talk about it. There's the plan written for the Clyde River and the Ouse River 25 years ago by Greening Australia, but no one's actually done anything. So we're trying our best to implement something that's meaningful, and what is not a perfect science, and we are still, you know, we're doing the best we can. I've got a great team, and we're just being led by evidence-based information.
Okay.
And the school, we had a really lovely thing. Did you speak to that?
Yeah, we just, we on that, we, Ella and I went and met with your lovely school committee, and had a really, really exciting, as in literally exciting, conversation about what, how we can involve the school and the classes and the students in what's happening there. But they were also really keen about the community. And so straight away, Principal Erica was talking about, oh, we could do, this is a, such a great community, and not just the school, but getting everyone on board and what we can do to have a, the community have a part of, particularly Crocus, Ali, in this bit, but, and also utilise it into the future and be part of it into the future and have the students part of this change into the future, which is really, really lovely.
Really sounds very good, yes.
Can I ask one more question? I want to find out if you've done a before and after, or will you do a before and after study about the river flow. So let's say before you started the willow removal process, did you take a measurement?
Yes, we've got, well, so in terms of just, it's all, we've got photo monitoring points and drone imagery to show the state of the river, so certain places with pictures taken showing the scenarios, and really they're the best way to show change, and just, you know, there'll be other monitoring as well, but in reporting, there's lots of monitoring and reporting that happens with a program like this, but we'll have, definitely we'll have evidence as such to show before we started and then what happens down the track.
Oh, that's great. Thank you very much.
No worries. Thank you. Okay, no worries. Any other questions? You know that the door's always open. Please give me a call.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And thank you later.
That's okay.
Very interesting.
Great.
You got some good work.
Yes, thank you so much. Please feel free to call, and if anyone, if there's anything to you and would like more information, we're always happy to chat.
Very good.
Okay. Thank bye, everyone. Enjoy your evening. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Damien, welcome.
Thank you, Mayor.
Over to you.
Right. Well, we need to bring an item forward.
Oh, what was that?
20.2.
Sorry, where's that? 20 what?
20.2.
20.2. Could I move over to bring it forward, please? Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Long, a second. Those all in favour of bringing it forward, please raise your hands. Anyone against? No. Alrighty.
Do you want to stay in suspend standing orders until after Damien?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, please. Yes. Over to 20.2. And I've got a recommendation there. Move it, please. Councillor Cassidy. Seconder. Councillor Honour. Do you have a comment there yet, Councillor Cassidy?
Oh, no. I'm just going to let Damien know. Run with it.
Yep, Councillor Honour.
Yeah.
Okay, Councillor's happy to let Damien go with this.
Sure.
Yep.
All righty. Thanks, Damien.
Thank you, Mayor. So we've been looking at this for actually 3 years.
Yeah.
This Southern Tasmanian Regional Land Use Strategy, and last year was a bit of a hiatus as far as council input was concerned for the 12 Southern Councils, but then a draft was released before Christmas for comment. And we've had a bit of a workshop on this, as everyone knows. So just to, I guess, briefly restate the kind of 10 key points. This Southern Tasmania Regional Land Use Strategy is meant to guide growth and development in Southern Tasmania. It's a statutory document. Future planning scheme amendments will have to accord with it. It's meant to be a big picture, overarching strategic land use plan. But the key things that we've identified so far is that this document and also the Tasmanian planning policies that have also been recently approved, you'll find no mention of the housing crisis. No mention of the Tasmania's housing target under the National Housing Accord. If you read these two documents, you don't know that there's a housing crisis. I think underlying that is this passive acceptance of demographic projections. So the demographers do their work looking at past supply statistics. The planners confuse that with past demand statistics and conclude that there's no demand. The demographic projections are just accepted passively. That Tasmania's growth will slow and we're all going to get older, and by 25 years' time we'll be one giant
aged care home.
So we could have passively accept that future, or we could the planners could actually become proactive about that and take that as a call to action and try and be proactive and aspirational and try and change the future. There's also evident here an unrealistic view of how the residential land supply industry works, which is very worrying. Ignoring future climate change driven immigration, which anyone who thinks about that could only imagine it's going to increase to Tasmania. I think the fact that we get mainland consultants involved in these things, they don't understand that, because no one wants, everyone's fleeing mainland Australia.
Can I add on that front? There should be a way of exploring the census data that actually reveals where, because it asks where you were, the census asks, I'm conscious of this, we've got the census again later this year, we should have preliminary results by the middle of next year.
Yeah.
But it actually asks not just where you are now, but where were you 4 years ago or whatever.
Okay, yeah.
And that can be highly indicative.
Yeah. It's interesting to know that, because the two demographers I've asked about this and both said, we don't have a way of measuring this.
I reckon they have.
Yeah, well, that's good to know.
I want to know. I've tried to do that, to do the cross tabulation, but it's beyond this.
Right. Thanks.
I know that, my house is on the market and we're looking at rentals, and I know that my agent has actually looked at three different agents in New Norfolk, and they're all saying the same thing. Everyone is after rentals up in Hamilton. So there is that, and if they go to these agencies, they will find that there is a lot of people wanting to go down to rentals and stuff, and there's just nothing there. So it goes to show that there is a necessity for that.
There really is demand. It has been for a long time. But the way the state planning apparatus measures this, they always conclude that there's no demand or very little demand.
Yeah, that way they don't have to build houses.
Yes. There's a flawed concept of settlement growth boundaries where they're too short-sighted. They're really just a map of the next residential land. They're not really helping the infrastructure providers, for example, who need to plan things for the next 50 years, not the next 15 or 25 years. And then an overall thing about unnecessary micromanaging rural communities and regional towns. Now, what matters in southern Tasmania is where the next 100,000 people are going to live, in and around Greater Hobart. It's not going to matter if Bothwell grows by 100 or 200 people. That has no regional strategic planning impacts. God forbid, wouldn't it be great if Bothwell could grow by 100 or 200 people? But for whatever reason, unnecessarily trying to dictate what happens in rural towns for no apparent regional benefit. I've mentioned an absence of aspirational socio-economic planning. There's a point here, number 10 on page 4 of the report, which I didn't realise was there when we had the council workshop, and that's I've called it incorrect definition of the Aboriginal community. One of the other rural councils picked this up, but in the first part of the document it talks about the only people of Aboriginal descent in Tasmania are those descended from the North East tribe, in other words the ones that were sent to Flinders Island. And no other nations, it makes a statement, no other nations survived the invasion. And I think this is venturing into territory that I think most people would disagree with, that there are a lot of people of Aboriginal descent in Tasmania who aren't descended from those who went to Flinders Island.
That's incorrect. It is.
Yeah. I know from my home territory of the Trobe up on the northwest coast, there was, you know, always talk of a lot of people descended from the progeny of the infamous Bass Strait Steelers. You know, terrible thing, but they, you know, infamously had harems of kidnapped Aboriginal women. Terrible thing, but that there was a lot of children born out of those things, out of those relationships, which are all across the northwest coast. So I've made a statement in the thing that council does not agree with that.
That's not true. So you strongly disagree.
Yeah, you can't agree with something like that.
Yeah. I don't even know why they put it in there. It's just
beyond what they should be talking about.
Yeah,
anyway.
Oh, yeah, the preamble is a disgrace in my view. The whole way the thing's written.
If we go into the submission with we've beefed up what we say about the you know, the idea that council has of capitalising on renewable energy projects. You know, if they are going to happen, then we need to try and make sure the local communities get the most out of it. There are some nice words in the Strauss about renewable energy, but it's not enough and not specific enough. We've also included some sections out of council's new strategic plan, which really together set the big scene and hopefully given it the understanding of the big strategic thinking that this council's been involved in over the last couple of years. We've talked about this, the categorisation of Bothwell. We believe it should be categorised as a service hub, given all the things that it does and its distance from Greater Hobart. So that's pretty much covered off as a very big snapshot of the submission. And I know Central Councillors are much more familiar with it than that. I've read it a few times recently and had a workshop on it.
So we're open to Councillors. Councillor Cassidy?
I think if I speak before anybody else, it'll end up closing it. So I won't.
No, it was suspended.
So I don't know if you picked up the Mercury today, but Clarence Council was in there talking about this Strauss report, and they were actually talking about land banking being a problem, being an issue. I don't think that we have that issue here in the Central Highlands, but.
I think there's this phenomenon of intentional and unintentional land banking.
Yes.
So around Greater Hobart, with a few opportunities for residential subdivision that are meted out by the state's planning system, in my view, that encourages land banking because you get developers with local monopolies who are happy to sit on those blocks and, you know, finish the subdivision and sell them off to make the most money possible. But in places like Bothwell, I call this unintentional land banking because there's a lot of blocks in Bothwell could be subdivided into two or three or four blocks. There's a house on them, but this is unintentional land. And it's just the fact that people who live in rural towns love living on a larger block. They've got no intention of chopping up their...
That's why I plant trees on mine.
So that's perfectly legitimate. For the Planning Commission to say that there's no demand in Bothwell and to say that there's plenty of land that could be subdivided just completely misses the reality of the situation. Mm-hmm. That people are not going to subdivide, they like their big blocks. Mm-hmm. And if we have people on the edge of the kind of village area who do want to subdivide, there should be no reason why the State Planning Authority would try and stop that happening if there's willing subdividers there.
Mm. The people come
Councillor Meacham, did you ever hand up a moment?
No.
People come up here and they get their big blocks because they want that privacy. Yeah. If they wanted a little block, they'd stay in town.
Well, yeah, and that kind of touches on one of the really big things about this regional land use strategy. It is very Metro Hobart focused.
Mm.
It's very focused on trying to get people to live in medium density accommodation in the middle of the city. And it makes comments like, people need this and so we should, you know, move heaven and earth to get it and stop growth on the fringe and in rural towns to make everyone live in the middle. But the fact is, people, most people don't want that.
Don't want that.
It's kind of social engineering, isn't it?
I know quite a few years ago, the housing commission, a friend of mine was working for them, they were looking at these elderly people who had a three-bedroom house that had been there for God knows how many years, out with their family, and trying to get them out of the three-bedroom house into a unit so the three-bedroom house could be used for a family, you know, get them off the street. And there was all, I know they did in Sydney too, and there was all the elderly people were saying, no, this is my house, I've been that's, to me,
yeah,
so a good way of being able to, if they can persuade them.
Yeah, if I was a metro council, I'd be quite worried, because within Metropolitan Hobart, there's things in there like mandatory targets to say that 50% of new dwellings must be, you know, medium density.
Mm.
You know, must be. Mm. You know, how when that clashes with the reality of the market and people's what people want,
absolutely,
you're just going to end up with more
stagnation. Right.
Yeah. And they the other big thing that they go on about is they say, oh, expanding at the edge or in small towns is very expensive to do. But if you ask any developer, you know, developing medium density inner city housing is very, very expensive. And just because you're in the middle of the city doesn't mean there's no infrastructure problems to solve either.
And that's probably the biggest challenge.
I mean, a lot of it's 100 years old and needs complete renewing.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that we need to encourage the state government to understand that our communities are only, like Bothell is a 58-minute drive now with the bridge. And, you know, to me, from my background, you know, like I lived in Southern California, only 33 miles from the Los Angeles International Airport, it would take me 2 hours, 2.5 hours sometimes to get to work. So this is an easy commute, 58 minutes, although I'm plenty tired of it because I do it day in, day out. But it's really an easy commute. You know, let's say if somebody is coming out here, let's say like a bedroom community. Mm. You know, if we could encourage the state government to see us that way, that we could become, Hamilton could become, Lewis could become, Gretna, bedroom communities for the big smoke.
I'm sure there's a number of people already treating it.
There's a lot of community.
Councillor Meacham had his hand up, then Councillor Miller.
I mean, in relation to dormitory suburbs, having lived in some, socially, it's a really bad development. I don't, you know, leave that road to Milton Melbourne as it is, as rotten as it is, and we avoid some things. Yeah. Anyway, that's just aside. Developing dormitory suburbs is a dumb policy.
Okay, Councillor Miller, then all right.
Well, now that, and especially over the last 10 years, especially ever since COVID, people have been working from home. So,
yes.
I mean, you only have to see how many more folks developed over the last few years.
Yeah.
And we've got a few in Hamilton that work from home, and they've bought up here because it's such a beautiful area and quiet, and they can work from home.
Mm.
And this, to me, seems that this report hasn't... They don't look into this. It's like they've got blinkers on.
Mm.
Yep. Okay, Councillor, all right.
What was I going to say?
Must have been a lie.
No, well, densification, what do they say, Danny? Densification in Enfield. Martin Farley's dug out his 30% increase in employment for wind farms and agriculture, 20% increase in tourism employment. Their document says densification and infill in Hobart, where the jobs are. Well, that's nonsense, isn't it? There's the jobs are 30% more jobs out of Hamilton, Lewes, Bothell.
Mm. There's a lot of jobs out here that aren't being filled. Mm. Partly because
it's just nonsense. But I mean, our main thing here is just to endorse Damien's thing. We could go on for a month.
Absolutely. Here. We could, and I think I could see some fatigue around the table.
Do you think?
No dancing tonight. Okay, where are we then, Damien?
Well,
what would you like from us?
Well, I suppose just that's all I've got to say, unless there's more questions.
Thank you, councillors. Where are we with our, Stephen, with our standard orders or recommendation, please? I haven't written it.
We've got to go back to, well, we've got a mover and seconder that we support the submission that Damien's talking about, and then we need to resume standing orders and go back and vote on the decision.
So we need the recommendation. Oh, sorry, Councillor.
Resume standing orders.
Yes, Mayor, as a mover, can I suggest we go back and remove standing orders and resume our normal meeting process?
Yes, Councillor Archer moved, and who seconded?
I'll second that.
Councillor Miller second. Okie dokie. Those in favour, please raise your hands. Righty.
Councillor Cassidy moved the motion and Councillor Hollis seconded it.
Okay, Councillor Cassidy, you're happy to...
I've got nothing more to add. Damien has basically covered all the most important aspects of it. I have made a submission myself to Kerry Vincent, the State Planning Office as well.
Very good, very good. Okay, so I'll put that recommendation forward. Those in favour? Okie dokie, that is carried. Okay, so.
Goodbye.
Thank you, sir. Brad's something to do. Oh, you're spoiled. Okie dokie, thank you. Right, yeah.
Councillor, it's 12.3. It's a motion we're either having or it's either withdrawn.
12.3
was withdrawn.
Withdrawn, was it, Councillor?
That was that 40 kilometer.
Yep.
Yeah. Withdrawn. That's the one that I wanted to withdraw.
Okay, that's done. And then, where are we? 12.4, Councillor Machum. Recommendation, could I have a seconder, please? Councillor Cassidy. Councillor Machum, anything to say to that motion?
Yeah, I don't want to labour this time at all. It is for advice, but it's also for recommendation. The Better Politics Foundation kicked off in the UK and Northern Ireland, and Ireland after the killing of MPs Joe Cox and Sir David Annis. In recent decades, particularly in Western democracies, political life has become increasingly fraught and fractious and antagonistic. And it's due in great part to the role of social media, with 9 out of 10 people in one way or another enrolled in Facebook University. So we have these notions such as Save America, Save Australia, Save Everything in Tasmania, as though, the very foundations of our lives are under threat. And so we have this heightened rhetoric around it, and little wonder then that maniacs at the fringe act to actually kill political figures. And the rate at which federal MPs in particular are threatened is disturbing in Australia. Social media is a double-edged sword. It's good for visibility. It's a target, though, for anonymous trolls in particular. It's tempting to believe that politics are inherently antagonistic and combative. They aren't. And we have a look at the instance in New South Wales at the last election where Chris Minns and Dominic Perrottet agreed that in their campaigning they would stick to policy, they would avoid personal attacks, and they would tell the truth. And after that election, it was notable that both of those leaders came forward and said to thank the other party for keeping to that accord. And so there are ways of doing this by formalising it. I did make an approach to Legat to promote this, and I've been working with Mayor Paula Wright in particular from Canberra, who's been very supportive on this. What I would recommend, and I have made this recommendation to some of my fellow councillors already, Councillor Trafet, I referred you to a questionnaire, and there's a link in there that you can click on and go through and look at. And it's important not just in generating data, but it also asks you to reflect upon the ways that you operate, how you work in cooperation or not with your fellow councillors, how you relate to your communities. It's really worthwhile. So I urge fellow councillors to complete the survey there, that SurveyMonkey link given above, and consider how they might improve the civility and inclusiveness of our practices. And
thank you.
And the emphasis being on the progress of us as the community. Yeah.
Councillor Cassidy, you're the seconder.
Well, to understand David's mind on this, it's very much appreciated. I think anybody has spent any time looking at the Australian, for example, and whenever they bring up our Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, some of the comments on there are absolutely feral about him. And, you know, I just think it's really uncalled for. And I have to say that I think the longer that a councillor gets the privilege to serve on council, you know, term after term after term, I think the members of the community tend to become more accepting of the councillor. And, you know, I think from my perspective, it's very, very much appreciated. I try to work hard for it. But I just, some of the comments that I've seen about various politicians, whether they're state or federal, and I'm always following the newspapers, the Mercury and the Australian, for example. And it's, it doesn't do anybody any good, actually.
Thank you.
So.
Any other councillors' comments? Rightio, back to you, Councillor Major, to close.
Oh, thank you for your supporting comments, Robert, on that. I do commend people click through, have a look at that, look at supporting the foundation. It's being launched nationally, the initiative's being launched nationally in the next couple of months. I think it is very, very worthwhile, and hopefully will lead to progress in our civic lives.
Thank you. So now I will put the recommendation forward. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Alrighty, that is carried. Thank you. 12.5, Councillor Meacham moved. Seconder, please. Councillor Miller, seconder. Councillor Meacham, would you like to speak to this?
Well, first I commend the work of the editors of the Highland Digest. I've run a number of articles with them relating to the demographics of the Highlands. They are very, very professional. I ran an analysis of the Mayor's column in the Digest, November 2024 to November 2025. The word counts were as follows. The Mayor used the word I 178 times, me 89 times, my 58 times. Now, accepting the proper recognition of the passing of Councillor Bailey, in descending order, you, Mayor, mentioned Councillor Honour 7 times, Councillor Triffitt 4 times, remarkable considering her election later in the year, Councillor Hall 5 times, Councillor Cassidy 4 times, Councillor Archer 4 times, Councillor Miller 3 times. Your deputy, Councillor Allwright, you mentioned only once, and myself only once, and that was a caption to a group photograph, as were most of the
members. Can you explain what this is about, please?
Or it's about the motion.
It's
Mayor.
Another attack on me or accusations. What's it about?
It's addressing the motion, Mayor.
Well,
as were most of the mentions of councils other than myself. Speaking of photos, you featured photos of yourself 24 times over 1 year. Nobody in the Highlands should have any problems identifying you. So in total, you referred to yourself 325 times and to all other councillors combined 29 times. Little wonder then, as a prominent local remark to me, does anybody beside the Mayor do any work at all? Now, when we have debated this previously, your stance has been that it's the Mayor's column, hence the I, me and my language. That stance...
Don't point at me, that's rude.
What that ignores is that Council's strategic direction is determined by all of us, collectively. Council's policies are determined by all of us, collectively. Council's budget is determined by all of us, collectively. Council's performance is monitored by all of us, collectively. And our governance work is only part of the equation. Everything we do needs to be put into action. The performance of all staff at all levels need to be recognised in your columns too. At least three of us around this table paid for media coverage. That paid approach is the proper approach for self-promotion.
Finished? Thank you. Well, that was a performance from yourself.
Excuse me, but as I see it, unless you give up the chair, you can't comment.
Being
the
chair person. No, I'm just answering. Thank you. You're the seconder,
yep.
So you can. Okay. Just for information, as Mayor, I'm the spokesperson, and that's why I put information for the community in the column. And if you concentrate properly on the column, you will see when necessary to say the word council, councillors, community, whoever I'm speaking about. If I am saying something, it is me, I. So be very careful with that one. But
and you are reporting on behalf of all of us.
Then if you wish to pursue it, take it further. Thank you. So any other councillors?
Yeah, but...
Councillor
Minn
has
spoken.
I set forward a, as I saw it, as a part of the legislation, of the regulations, I have spoken about this. My one concern about this Mayor's column, although it does give people what's happening within the community, but not who's doing it, because I've had the same complaint. People have said to me, oh, you lot don't do much, do you?
That's the thing is, column,
the thing is, when it comes to doing election time, the count, it says in, is this the right time to say this? Reform 31. Make council resources shouldn't be made available to benefit one candidate over the other. And I see this in the Highland Digest as it being because, and the council supported this Reform 31, but I see it as because it's not paid for by individuals, and the council have been resourcing the Highland Digest, that maybe over the time of the elections that Mayor column does not go into the Highland Digest.
Or rebadged.
Please explain.
It might be instead of the Mayor's column, it's the council's column. Not signed off to rebadge.
Yep.
Well, I'll just say that I will not stop doing the Mayor's columns. If you wish to get legal advice, do it. Councillor Archer and Councillor Trivett. Councillor Archer.
Mayor, I'd like to endorse this motion. I was very disappointed that the language that was chosen, inadvertently, I think, for the welcome to the district. There's a column there. I thought it was very partisan in its language and the way it was delivered in terms of draft language, and so I'm very supportive of this. I don't think the council itself should be paying for promotion of any single candidate, and I believe the language that was used in the Mayor's column in that was partisan, and so I think this is a moderate way of trying to just get sense back into the way that we're delivering what should be unbiased information.
Thank you, but I was asked to put that Mayor's column in many years ago.
Oh, I'm sure you were, but the choice of language but the point I'm making is it was inappropriate in my view.
Your view. Councillor Trivett.
I just want to disagree with everything that everyone said. I've never heard a problem at all with the Mayor's column. In fact, everyone loves it, is what I've heard.
So. Thank you.
And you've been doing it for years and you were asked to do it, so...
Well, it is. It's some people's vote. They look forward to the Mayor's column. I appreciate that. Okay, so any other councillors?
Yes, ma'am.
You've spoken, have you?
No, I haven't. I'd like to. So, I see this as a couple of issues. As we're all sitting around this table, we're nearing the election time. Possibly re-election or not. I think everybody's feeling a bit uncertain about their futures serving on council, and I think that's possibly what's motivating this. So I just think that perhaps, Madam Mayor, while I know it's your column and you say Mayor's column, perhaps you could be more inclusive and say this is what we did. I mean, if I was the mayor, that's what I would say. I would say this is what we have accomplished together, collectively. I think it puts a better shine on it, and also, you know, it would make us feel like we're worth something sitting around the table.
Haven't you seen where I praise you up in there?
Oh, yes, I know.
Council this, council that.
Yeah, I know, and I appreciate it.
So I feel this is very, very much an attack.
Well, no, it's not an attack, Madam Mayor. I think it's an issue of people feeling anxious about the upcoming changes and the, you know, five or seven or however many they're going to have of us, whether it's going to be a deputy mayor or, you know, everybody's feeling uneasy about this. And I think that's probably where this is all coming from. I don't necessarily think it's deliberately targeted at you, but I think if you could just change the verbiage a bit and be more inclusive of, you know, this is what we have done as a collective.
I thought I did that, to be honest. And you know, you talk about the election campaigning, being nervous. And Councillor Miller or Meacham and all right, they've all got their little spiels in the New Norfolk News.
I pay for mine.
So, in essence, you're right. It was moved by Councillor Meacham, second by Councillor Miller. Councillor Meacham, you're the move. Would you like to?
Despite your commentary, I pay to have my thing. That's electioneering.
Thank you.
But you get fully funded council supported electioneering by the way your language. That's what the point of this motion is about.
Does council get an invoice for my mayor's column?
No, we make a payment for the running of the digest.
You're not answering. Does
no, it is answering the question. It is answering the question. You are getting publicity in there technically.
So are you all?
Yeah, but they're paying for it.
You're getting. I'm the mayor. Have you read the role and functions of the mayor, of the councillors? Have you read? Have a look at the Local Government Act.
That doesn't preclude you from acknowledging the benefits of other councillors. That's what I'm talking about. That doesn't work. That doesn't preclude you from doing that. It's just an attack on me. Thank you. Can I read what you said in the column now? Okay. Councillor Meacham is to close. Is there other councillors? Councillor Meacham, I'm going home. Okay.
What I spoke to originally in this motion is objective stuff. You did in total in that 1 year that I looked at it, you referred to yourself 325 times and to all other councillors 29 times in total. Now, where's the balance in that?
It precludes
us being recognised for our hard work also. Okay.
Have you finished?
No, I haven't.
Please hurry on with running.
Okay, we pay $15,000. It's not what we... It's just not a good look when it looks like the mayor is the only person who's doing any work in this council. It's not good for our reputation. It's there in the numbers. The numbers of times you refer only to yourself, it is there. And personally, I love the digest. I think they do great work, but I'd be reluctant to be contributing much more to them if it's going to be only for your self-aggrandisement.
You've had your say, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, the recommendation moved by Councillor Meacham, second by Councillor Miller. Those in favour of the recommendation, raise your hands and I'll record the names. So those in favour are. All right. Miller, Archer, Machen, Cassidy, Hall. Those against? Any against? Councillor Honour, Councillor Trivett, and obviously myself, because I believe it's absolutely an attack on the mayor.
There's a conflict of interest in that.
We'll see about that, won't we? Thank you. So it was carried. Planning Authority, nil.
No.
Ordinary council meeting resumed, but not required. 15, monthly and elected members activity. You can see all those there.
Apart from mine, please take mine. I was in there. I was there in spirit.
Okay. Your name is in here.
Sorry?
Your name is in here.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be. Because I wasn't here. I was here in spirit, okay. But not in body.
That's the 20th of January. Ordinary Council Meeting, Hamilton.
Yep.
Okay, we'll delete that.
You're here in spirit.
Yeah.
May I?
Yep.
We're talking about the councillor commitments.
We are.
Yep.
But we have a mover for the motion first.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
So I'll move it.
Move by Councillor Miller.
I'll second.
Second by Councillor Cassidy. Okie dokie, Councillor Miller, you've spoken.
Yep. Yep.
Councillor Cassidy, you're the seconder.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to say that somehow, you know, Katrina's always very, very reliable and sends an email, but I haven't, I didn't receive the email that triggered in my mind what commitments I have, and I've got them all written down. So there's only three commitments there, but I actually have nine others that I didn't have the opportunity to include, and that was on the 23rd. I met with UTAS Professor Strong and Dr. Carell Solis regarding Dark Sky Reserve and Central Highlands. The 23rd, I emailed Hobart Lord Mayor Anna Reynolds and King Trailer, introducing the UTAS Professor to them in connection with Dark Skies. The 29th, I submitted a list that I developed for Dark Sky stakeholders to Damian Mackey, our planning consultant. 29th, I met with Honorable Minister Guy Barnett at his invitation to discuss matters of significance to Central Highlands Municipality, including Dark Sky Reserve and tourism opportunities, as well as matters of regarding state and federal significance. And walked him over to see Stephen, because Stephen saw him after me. On the 30th of January, I submitted a list to stakeholders to Honorable Minister Guy Barnett's office staff. On the 30th, submitted a submission to local government regarding electoral reform. The 2nd of February, made a submission to State Planning Office, I previously mentioned to you guys, and to Honorable Minister Kerry Vincent regarding the Southern Tanzania Regional Land Use Strategy. The 4th of February, I had a communication with Hobart Lord Mayor Anna Reynolds regarding Dark Sky. And finally, on the 5th of February, I had a communication from Honorable Minister for Planning Kerry Vincent regarding the Strauss report. That's pretty much it. It was pretty damn busy.
Pretty busy. It's very good. Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Cassidy, you was also the seconder. So it's the Council Lords now.
I don't think we should be doing commitments that aren't published. Like, gosh, I might have that. We'd have another 40 pages in this thing. In this agenda.
What's your point, sorry?
Well, public commitments like tonight, like we've been seeing in public, like tonight. But if we've got if you've got an expectation that you should be recorded for doing a submission, how many submissions did you have? Say you had?
Am I working for council? Yes or no?
Well, this is my view. So maybe that needs to be a discussion point. Like, how big do you want these commitments to be? 40 pages?
if he does the work, he should be writing it as a commitment. Councillor Bonner.
I have a thing set on my phone as a reminder in the second Tuesday of every month that the commitments need to go in. A lot of times get the commitment in before Katrina sends out the email.
Well done, Councillor.
Well
done. Councillor
yep.
And I have fine. As well, Mayor. I make
second
sure.
Tuesday.
Very good. Okay.
Do you do that individually for every month?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. So the commitments, Katrina, are a week before the agenda, or what's the cut-off time?
Tuesday.
The Tuesday, the week of the
weekend. Thank you. Okie dokie. So, we're going through the recommendation that the
commitments be received.
Commitments be received. Councillor Miller, Councillor Cassidy. Back to you, Councillor Miller, to close.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, okay. Those in favour of that recommendation, please raise your hands. Thank you. Gary. Okie dokie. 15.1. Government departments, you can see heaps of correspondence there from the GM and myself that's been actioned. Move it, please, Councillor.
Commission was first.
Commission. And Councillor Cassidy. Comments, Councillor Meacham?
It's so really good it is to actually see what's going out. This is what we've been pushing for, and I'm glad to see it happening. Thank you.
Councillor Cassidy.
Yeah, you know, of course it's great for transparency, but whatever goes out really needs to look professional.
Yeah.
And
I think there's there's a tie by.
Oh,
there is a tie-bar. It was pointed out to me Sunday.
So, you know, I think that I'm always available to proofread. I apologize.
I'll send it through to you half an hour.
Often,
before they go anyway.
We're going to use English.
Often the general manager and I go through and often make amendments to the correspondence, the letters, so it does get looked at and amended if necessary.
You would like to point out the error in the letter?
Not really.
Alrighty. So, any other comments, councillors? Councillor Miller?
Yes, I agree with Councillor Meacham. It's great to see the letters and to know where we are with these.
Yeah.
These politicians and what we're doing further. So thank you very much for doing that.
That's good. You're all on board. And then, well, while I mention it too, it's probably a good thing if instead of individual councillors emailing individuals, it's best if you send them to every councillor because that's transparency also. Alrighty, so the move by Councillor Meacham. Second by Councillor Cassidy. Any other councillor comments? Rightio. You've closed, Councillor Meacham?
No, I haven't, but that's fine. Thanks for the support around the table. It's good.
For those in favour, please raise your hands. That's carried. Two general managers' activities for January and February. Move it, please. Councillor Cassidy. Second to Councillor Honour. Okay. Councillor Cassidy, any comments?
Yes, sir. GM, all of your commitments and so forth that you've noted here, I was wondering if there's any possibility of perhaps like a box ticking exercise below, like where these commitments fulfill this KPI or that performance metric and so on and so forth. And what I'm thinking about is, you know, our annual review, performance review for our new GM. I think that, you know, something like this, you know, this is all good to have all of this information, but I think in addition, if we had something just down below, this meets this criteria, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Just thought.
Yeah, look, the thing being is that quite clearly what will end up happening once we do the once the contractual arrangements and the performance criteria is done, I'm assuming the terms of reference will then come up with the methodology in the reporting process. Mm-hmm. That's what the terms of reference would be used for.
I just thought of it.
So, sorry. But, yeah, that's the way I see that it would work.
Okay, Councillor Ollie, you're the seconder.
Yeah, all good. It's really good to see everything that, GM's been doing.
Councillor Archer Miller and Orr.
Yeah, I'd just like to take exception at what Councillor Cussley had to say. I don't see it that way at all, Robert. I think that, as it's set out, it's excellent. You know, I don't think the Mayor or the General Manager should be assessing themselves. I mean, that's up to us. You know, I'm not going to ask either of them to do our job. I think, you know, the KPIs will be what they are. And some of these will be related, some of them won't. I think it's a genuine attempt to list the activities and the discussions that have happened, but I don't think there should be any relationship between KPIs on the annual or monthly sheet. That's up to councillors to assess.
And what if we get it wrong?
Councillor Miller?
After having, on the January the 27th, we had a meeting with the Mayor and the resident from Hamilton Branch. Was that resolved, the boom gate?
Actually, anything like that should be spoken to prior to the meeting.
Oh,
okay. But if you wish the General Manager to answer, he could answer that.
Only because I've been kind of held up by, you know, by a certain person that demanded.
I went through and got some details out in regards to it, and then subsequent to that there's been the issue in regards to a parcel of land up on Hamilton Plains Road, which is subject to what we're talking here tonight. My understanding from talking to Jason and Barry and co is quite clearly that those people that have got keys to the boom gates, whether that's the real issue or whether it's Simons have put a gate up on their property and whether that's the issue, I don't know. The ambulance going up there couldn't find the property, went down the wrong lane. That really comes down to the fact, are the places signposted sufficiently?
No, they're not.
Now, have you got your name on the gate, yeah, or have you got the number that can be seen quite clearly at night time is probably what needs to be addressed. Yeah,
but I have been told that the lock had been changed, so the keys they've got don't work.
So
I'm just assuming that was discussed. But as long as we've got a, something's come out of it, I suppose that's all we can do.
Yeah, look, the thing being is I'll find out tomorrow if that is the case, the locks have been changed. But I would have thought that if that was the case, we would have had a lot of complaints about it.
Okay, thank you.
The Oxford Church Cemetery, what's happening there? Is there a bit of background in this? Or?
Basically what they're looking at is trying to put, you know, do more interments in the cemetery. So they came
more people in Oxford to die. Is that what that translates
to? I'm not 100% sure they meant that. There are currently three plots that have already been, they're already allotted.
Yeah.
And they came to us to find out whether, you know, what our views were of having a look at more spaces in the site. Of which there's a management policy which is the same policy for the Bothwell Cemetery and for Ostley. The issues they came up with is that they wanted to, you know, have the interments, and I said, well, and then they said headstones and all of this, and I said, well, you come back to us and tell us that these are the rules that you want to abide by, these are the sort of headstones you're allowed to have. Because I didn't want staff being told, oh, I want this headstone, and they say, well, you can't have it. These are the rules that everyone knows before they go.
Is there a formal committee, Steve?
No, there's not. There's not.
That might be tidy.
Look, at the end of the day, that will probably come under, you know, the community and economic development arm well, more the community development side of council's committees. So there may be someone from the Osterley Cemetery Committee that comes on board, or someone from the general public that is that way.
Councillor Hall.
Going back to Councillor Miller's... I got a phone call today, and I think I might have spoken to you about GM, that there was a member from the Gretna Fire Brigade was concerned that maybe the locks have been changed. They don't want to go up there and called out to a fire and everything's different. So I don't know. I mean, it just...
Well, can they find that out? You know, make sure that that's the case?
Right.
So if that is the case, then I'll go to Jason and say, well, let's put new locks on this, give everyone, you know, and give them a
case. That's what his concern was today.
Yeah.
So who's changing the locks?
Oh, it's going
to... It'll probably be further down the line for council to consider having a notice-type board at the beginning of the plains just to dot-point the houses for emergency services. I don't think it would be that expensive. If so, we should look, investigate a grant or something.
Look, I think the best process is that we get reasonably, on each of the properties, we get name or number that is very clear.
So it's our number system.
And that would be a better way. The ambulance hasn't got time to sit there and look to find out where someone lives.
They should be able to look at a big screen and say, oh, that's where so-and-so lives.
Yeah, but in the middle of the night, it's probably not quite that simple. So no,
isn't it up to the resident to make sure that their property is correctly and...
That's quite correct. But what we need to do at the end of the day, there's some that can afford it, some probably can't, so what we need to do is look at what's the best option.
Thank you.
You'll be closing, Councillor Cassidy, when I've asked councillors. Any other council comments? Righty-o, over to Councillor Cassidy to close.
Well, I was just going to suggest that a very simple fix would be for all property owners to it's kind of like this, it's not illuminated, it's reflective is what I want to say, a reflective type of a number identifying their property. Now, I think if we would put some information in the digest, we're back to the digest again. If we could put some information in the digest, or if we...
Would you like the mayor to do it?
As long as you said council.
Or if we could put some notice in the race notices to remind residents that their property is properly identified for emergency services, to include fire, ambulance, SES, police.
Yeah.
I think if we could just remind the folks, that's what needs to happen.
I think that's a good idea.
You know, I mean, I think it's actually everybody's responsibility.
It is.
To be rescued if they need it.
Yes. Councillor Archer,
the original ones were reflective, Robert. They were donated, they're all installed, but significant donations of every property in the state had them.
Yeah.
So the ones you're talking about, they're good, that they were donated originally.
Yeah, but they were on the highways.
On the roads. No, they did them all through Mount Lane, every little property had one.
That's interesting.
This is not for a conversation. I've got Councillor Cassidy closing. So it's been closed now, so those in favour of the recommendation for the information to be received, please raise your hands, and that is carried.
Went round everyone.
No, that's more than
operation. 16.1 health and wellbeing plan.
That was the invitation to the shack owners meeting.
Very good.
Thank you.
Health and wellbeing plan, may I have a move, please? Councillor Honour, Councillor Trivett. Didn't you say that? You're getting tired.
What's
16.1. Okie dokie. Councillor Honour, would you like to talk to that?
No, it's all very straightforward from what I can see.
Yes. Councillor Trebet, comment?
No.
All good. Councillors, would you like to comment? Councillor Bacon?
I just think the childcare options analysis is great. It's really well done. I think it's incredible what we've achieved with that $3 million grant for child care. It's great. Childcare.
Thank you. Alrighty, no other councillors' comments. Councillor Honour to close.
Well, before she closes, Mayor, just very quickly, I think the council projects and activities is terrific.
I think council's done a wonderful job.
A great summer and
a lot. Back to the closer, who's Councillor Honour?
Yeah, I think actually something should go out to the community, because there's two in the community taking credit. For this childcare, and there's one farmer who, if he comes into the post office when I'm there, he's going to cough it. He's thanking the wrong person, and so are these other two. It's got to be shown that it came from Rebecca White. Yeah. And Anthony Albanese in the Labour Party.
We've got it. Thank you. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands.
This is a post office, done.
That's Karen.
That's right, you take a post office.
16.2, Ash Cottage, monthly report, a mover.
Thanks, Lizzie.
A mover, please. Okie dokie, Councillor Honour. Seconder, Councillor Miller. Any comments, Councillor Honour?
No.
Councillor Miller?
No, it's really good to see that they're back.
Yes.
Especially with the yoga, that's a good program that they put on. And the amount of meals that they deliver each.
Yeah.
It's just, especially with the old one and the swap shop. I mean, you walk in there and any day that it's open, there's at least half a dozen people in there. It is very good, and I like the fact that now we're getting, I know what goes on because I was up there, but for everybody else to know, what goes on.
Any other comments, councillors?
He might say it all, of course.
Okay, you close, Councillor Honour.
Yes. Yeah, okay. Very good thing that they're doing for the community.
Alrighty. So I'll put the recommendation forward. Please raise your hand. Carried, thank you. 16.3, donation, Gretna Cricket Club.
Mayor, there's a typo on this one.
I knew we could pick it up.
Seconder, Councillor Hall. Councillor Cassidy, you moved it. Any comments?
No, I think it's worthy.
Councillor Hall, any comments?
I will conclude with Councillor Cassidy on that. Mm-hmm. It's well worthy.
Very good. Councillors? Councillor
Archer. Mayor, it says the club is seeking a donation towards the annual awards with $250 recommended as per previous year's donation amount, and yet we are donating $300. Can I suggest that we stick with the recommendation of $250?
If the mover agrees to that, and the seconder, Councillor Cassidy, or the mover, do you agree to that?
That's good. There's $300 here. Just give them three. I mean, what the hell is $50 going to make a difference to a council, to council's budget?
Give them $600.
Paul, you're the seconder.
I will agree with Councillor Cassidy, Mayor.
Okay. Rightio. Councillors, any comments? Rightio. As the mover, Councillor Cassidy, would you close?
I've got nothing more to add.
Alrighty, I'll put the recommendation up. Those in favour, please raise your hands. Very good, that is carried. Seven operational matters, 7.8.1, works and services. Councillor Miller, are you moving?
Yes.
And Councillor Honour is seconding. Councillor Miller, would you like to speak to it?
Yes, I came across Jason a few times where he can, when it's safe, he stops and takes, removes the dead animals off the road. And I've thanked him for that. But I noticed in the report from the Doonk River catchment, there was a photo of a devil. But I've also noticed there's been a couple of dead devils next to carcasses. So I'm just wondering, where it's safe, can we please say to our workmen, if you come across one and it's safe, please take it off the road for the safety of the devils. Jason does it, and I really, you know, say thank you to him for that.
And I'm pretty sure that was addressed last year or the year before to ask anyone travelling through, the workers, if they would pick up.
That would be cool.
And especially Stornoway. Can anyone remember that one?
Because there's been a lot of dead animals on the road lately, and my concern is the devils that get in the scavenge and the hawks.
Well, yeah. Councillor Meacham, do you remember that?
No, I just in the instance of state growth rights, that's the responsibility set by them. It's good. It's
still
a good
way,
I like your initiative. When I worked for Wyomshire Council, on the state roads there, if the dead animal was within like a metre and a half of the road, it was for the state people. More than that, so what was commonly seen was the state workers dragging the animal off into the council area to make sure we clean them up instead. So they can get crafty about it. But yeah, I do question it from state roads.
Okay,
Councillor,
all right then, Cassidy.
So,
Councillor Honour, did you have comments?
No, I've got
nothing.
Sorry,
Councillor
Honour and Cassidy.
So over my time at camp, we've had quite a number of discussions about this. Doonk Valley have Stornoway away, the rules about what you can do. I think as far as I can work out, that like the boys have just an informal thing, they'll do that bad, but the amount of roadkill is a function of the amount of animals that are in the countryside. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, what are we going to do? Pay two people and provide them a car and spend all year driving around, and they wouldn't get around the road. There's 800 kilometres of road.
Yeah, predominantly what happens now
is it's just an informal.
It is, and if staff are travelling on a road and there's animals that have been killed, then they subsequently move them to the side.
Yeah.
Now, it's not as if we travel around to try and find them.
No, and it definitely wouldn't want to go down the pathway of giving someone like Stornoway, like Doonk Valley do. That'd be cost a nightmare.
Well, there's Stornoway, under the state road maintenance contract, they are supposed to do.
That's exactly right. That's what I was talking about.
What's the Northern River Road? Is that state? Is that Doonk Valley or is that state road?
Alrighty, can we move on? Councillor Cassidy.
Anyway, whatever it is, the bushwatch moan about them.
Councillor Cassidy and then Archer.
So, a couple of our points. Devils are they a threatened species or endangered? I forget which now, but, I travel the Highland Lakes Road a hell of a lot, and there's so many, especially young ones, that are killed needlessly. So, because they're scavengers, they're going after the carrion that's on the roads, okay? So I think that's the point that Yvonne is making quite correctly. Regardless how many may be in the bush or not, that's another argument for a different day. I think that we should be looking after the wildlife. The other point that I wanted to make, well, second to last point, is people just need to slow down at night. I find that 71 kilometers per hour driving at night on the Highland Lakes Road, I'm able to avoid wallabies that pop out at the last moment, avoid devils, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I mean, there's a lot of needless roadkill out there because people are just driving like mad at night, you know. The last point that I wanted to make here on this 17.1 Works and Services Monthly Report. Now, you look at the left-hand column, you'll see grading and sheeting, maintenance grading, all these titles here, but when you look over to the right column, it's all disjointed. You know, they're talking about bridges, monthly toolbox meetings, day-to-day JSA, you know, I mean, I think when these agendas are put together, they ought to, you know, do a little bit of proofreading.
I'll pass it on to the GM. Councillor Arthur.
Yeah, I've never seen as much roadkill in all the time I've been travelling on the roads the last fortnight between Boston and North Mumbai. Whether it's the dry, I don't know what's causing it, but it has been absolutely appalling. I've never seen like it.
And they'll be out tonight for so.
Well, exactly. So I'm suggesting that we do need to write to State Growth and see if they can't be more diligent, certainly in this area, and I know that's really bad at Maina. At that area there where we do know there are a lot of animals killed, removing them from the road as a priority, because they're certainly not doing it. Day after day after day, same poor old things there, attracting carrion feeders. So I think that, you know, it'd be great to get the GM to write and try and do something about it, and I foreshadow a motion in the next council meeting where I'll be suggesting that we do look at nighttime speed limits on these roads where we're having high impacts.
We'll take that on board, please, General Manager. Alrighty, did you say you would foreshadowing
a motion for the next meeting?
Yep.
Right, we're right with that. And any other councillor comments? We'll go back to the mover, who was Councillor Miller.
I'm in agreement that there are so many, and particularly the road leading down to Elderslie. There's a lot of smaller kangaroo and stuff on the road and on the parts of the road where they're doing it at the moment. So, but my main concern is the devils, they are endangered. And I've seen three on the road in the last month, and that's three too many. I know it's hard to miss. I mean, come around the corner coming down through Hamilton, yeah, down through the plainway, that roadway, come around the corner, and I hit him. A possum went back for him, but he didn't even know it hit him. I mean, you just didn't see him. So, I mean, I've done my share. But again, this is mainly for these endangered animals that we've got to take care of, and they are a scavenger, so they will get anything that's on the road. So if we can do something about it, and obviously they're not stalkers, not doing their job.
Just foreshadowing motion.
Yeah. So thank you very much for listening to me.
Thank you, Councillor Miller. I'll put the recommendation forward. Those in favour, please raise your hands. Carried. 18, operational matters. 18.1 is a financial report. Move it, please. Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Machen. Councillor Cassidy, any discussion?
Yes, as you've all read the report, you'll see that we're down to about $5 million in various accounts. And just a few years ago, 3 years ago, I think it was, we had $10.5 million in various accounts.
11.
Okay, 11, I stand corrected. Before that, we had like 12.5. I want to suggest, and I wish Zishan was here. I had pulled him aside out there in the hallway to ask him to back me up on this, but he's not here. So I'll put a question on notice to Zishan. I think that we should establish a red flag in our financial reports or reporting, whether it's monthly or whatever. There should be a red flag or some point where we have to say spending stops, because this is, you know, this is about financial sustainability. But if we continue spending at the rate that we're spending, next year we're going to be in trouble. Okay, we got $5 million left in the bank. I really believe that we need to start being a little bit more conservative with our projects, our capital works projects, and all of this. And I don't know. I just again, I feel like we need to put a red flag in there. So at some point, it's a trigger that, you know, we just stop spending money like drunken sailors.
Thank you. The second is Councillor Machen.
Robert, I differ on this. The substantial surpluses we had around 2021, 2022, 2023 were really about the federal grants processes being accelerated, put forward, so they were artificial highs. Yep. They were an anomaly. The $5 million surplus is getting somewhere where we should be. And also commend the position's highly readable reports. Thank you.
Councillor Archer.
Now, I take great exception with what my colleague David's been saying. In the previous council, we had certainly 11 million plus. I think it was close to 13.
Pre-COVID,
was it? Yeah, we've seen all that wound down. I endorse what has been said by another one of my colleagues about seeing a red line. You know, we need to decide that we're not going to run our reserves down below a certain level. One question I have is, Stephen, is this like a low point and we'd like to rebuild them for the rest of the financial year? They'll come back up to 8 or 9, or is that wishful thinking? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, I do, and those councillors that have read the budget will discover that we're looking at about a 5.3 million balance at the end of the financial year. That will be determined based on a one grant in particular as to whether we get that before the end of the 30th of June or whether we get it after the 30th of June. But once we take accruals into account, that's basically where we'll sit. Also in the past, we used to get 75% of the FAGS grants in advance before the end of a financial year. That gave you an inflated balance to start with, and that's been going on for a number of years. So basically, over that period of time, there was probably a $1.72 million, which was a surplus that really wasn't a surplus. Mm-hmm. So if you take that out of the account, you probably looked at, you had a balance of about $9 million, but it's been driven down to $5 million. It's been driven down to $5 million for only one specific reason. You've spent a heap on capital works.
Mm.
Absolute heap on capital works. So that's where it's all gone. If it was being swallowed up in recurrent expenditure, you'd start to worry.
Mm. Mm. Capital works give us...
Councillor Miller, you're next. You had
your hand up. Talk about the spending and you're talking about the capital works. May I say that the council spent some money in capital... Well, I gathered under capital works... to re-clad the Hall of Industry, and I'm not joking, that Hall of Industry looks like it's a brand new building. I went inside it over the weekend. There's not a possum in sight. There's not a smell of a possum in sight. There's no birds in sight. And that then has produced a really top building. It means that it's going to last for more years than it would have done, but we are hoping for a grant to be able to strip out the inside and redo the inside. But can I say that there is some parts of capital spending for that has improved and given us a building that will last a lot longer. So I'm really happy that you saw reason to do that.
Thank you. Councillor Orr.
So over the COVID period and since then council made a strategic decision to reduce our reserves.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
That included the drainage works around here, $1 million straight out of our reserves. Councillor Archer and Cassidy might have forgotten that. Stealing Pelham Road, that's probably half the total cost has come out of our reserves. So I don't know what the exact figure would be, but a significant amount of, like, rerouting the Hamilton office, all these capital works, and I don't think it's fair that councillors should complain about our reserves dropping when we council made a strategic decision to drop them
in the face of forced amalgamations.
And in the face of forced amalgamations, to leave a legacy for things. So,
agree.
A red flag.
Okay. Any other councillors' comments? Rightio, we'll go back to Councillor Cassidy for the mover to close.
Yeah, so grants or no grants or whatever we've got in the bank or various accounts we earn interest on. You know, so if you have a few million dollars that are sitting in the bank, it's not just gathering dust, it's gathering interest. And that's worth something to this council. As small as we are, as small as our ratepayer base is. Now then, it was you, Jim, it was you who insisted that we spend this money in case we get amalgamated. It was you. You pushed that.
Gladly take the blame.
But we did not get amalgamated, and I didn't believe that we would.
No, we thought there's a council.
It's just,
let's stick to the point.
We've blown this money unnecessarily. And we're at a risky financial position, in my opinion. All we need is one natural gym. One natural disaster, Jim, and we're in trouble.
He's attacking me.
I'd like to say that I don't think we are in trouble. I think that, you know,
we will be. That's what I'm saying.
Councillor Cassidy, it will be up to council next year when they strike the budget to do it on the basis of we have or budget for surpluses, which is what we attempted to do last year. Your three budgets up until then have all been substantive deficits. That's not how you run your operation. The other thing being is you are in strife if your reserves and provisions aren't cash-backed. Now, council's reserves and provisions are cash-backed. So it's not the disaster that you're trying to paint.
We need a red line, though. That's my point.
Understand the point is...
We need a red flag.
We need to determine when we do the budget this year what our reserves and provisions are and what our balance has to be. Not so much... We can't continue to work off deficits. So we've shut down the deficits, and what we've got to do now is work on surpluses.
Thank you, Councillor Cassidy. Have you closed?
Mm.
Okay. Those with the recommendation, please raise your hands. Please raise your hands. Is there anyone against? That's carried. Item is operational matters 9.1. We've already done, haven't we?
Well, no,
we haven't done the report. Oh, I thought we did. No,
okay. Mover, please. Councillor Meacham, seconder. Councillor Miller. Councillor Meacham, any comments?
I'm a big fan of their work, and I'm a big fan for those. We've got the launch this weekend at Myina for the community weed control program. It's taken a long time to get to this point, but I feel like they're taking it seriously now and support it, and also an adopted shore.
And it wasn't advertised.
It was. It was on Facebook on various pages. So Ella Weston did do a lot of
publicity. Not everyone has Facebook, that's the issue.
Yeah, I think there were other. There was also letter drops.
No, I didn't know about that either.
Yeah, there were letter drops and also... at the lodge and
home. So when is it? What is it, sorry?
On Sunday at 10 o'clock, and I include here in the conversation Steve Lorick. He's one of the other key holders for the...
Sunday at 10 o'clock at?
At Hua. It's in the car park of the community centre there, and they're going on to, you know, cut trees and do some demonstrations elsewhere. So they're demonstrating how to... control certain weeds. It's a very worthy program, and it's being done on a very tight budget.
Is that by Kathy?
No, it's via the Derwent Catchment project.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought Kathy worked with them sometimes.
She does. She does do subcontracts.
Okay. Alrighty, back to the recommendation.
Seconder? Sorry.
It was moved by Councillor Meacham, second by Councillor Miller. So, Councillor Miller.
I'll just say I'm so pleased to see that photo of the Tassie Devil in there. They always do a good job.
They do a brilliant job.
Yeah, but I'm so pleased to see him in there.
And their presentation was great.
It is, yes.
All right. So, Councillor Meacham, would you like to close?
No, it's all good. All
okay,
good. Thank
so
you.
Well, I will put the recommendation forward. Those in favour, please raise your hands. That's carried. All right. 20 is operational.
Oh, no, I just moved the other one. The next one is
operational development environmental services. You're moving that, Councillor. All right.
I can move that, yeah. Because I want to ask a question.
And seconder, Councillor Hall. All right, Councillor Ross.
So we've gone over the style of stuff, so we don't need to revisit discussion on that. The dog management policy, Mr. GM. Did I hear you say that we got a 35 page submission? Mm-hmm. Or did.
Our favourite author was there.
35 pages.
Yeah, it's not funny.
We were going to. Yeah, direct. No, well, no. I wish you luck trying to decipher it. We've got 35 or 36 pages on a strategic plan, too. So, but
right.
On
the right
page.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Good commentaries.
The second, Councillor Hall.
Have nothing to say.
Nothing, Councillor. And I'd just like to comment on the wonderful job Cathy's doing in the DES position, so to speak. She's brilliant. I'd just like that to be recorded. All right, so the recommendation I'll put forward, those in favour? Okay. Thank you.
Right.
20.2 is the submission. We've done that one. That was all good.
Did we actually endorse it?
Yes, we did. Thanks very much. 21
operation
matters.
Thank you.
1.1 Crown purchase application. This a mover, please. Okay, Councillor Honour, Councillor Miller.
Councillor.
All right, hand us all. Councillor Honour, second by Councillor All Right. Councillor Honour, would you like to comment?
No, I've got nothing to say on it.
Thank you, Councillor All Right. Would you like to comment?
So I drilled into this a bit. I know the family, so. Or not this particular owner, but there's actually probably a benefit for council if I haven't heard any comment from the works manager, but it's probably be a benefit for council. So
Jason didn't have a problem.
So it would give them access to a better form part for the Hamilton Road rather than coming back around.
It's just the laneway into their house, isn't it? So it's on the southern side of the plane overlooking Greenwich. Councillors, Councillor Archer.
Mayor, just on the lock gate was the concern?
No.
You get to it from the highway.
No.
Or if you have a key,
are we absolutely sure that there are no neighbours or affected persons?
Firstly,
Jason and and spoken to Jason about it because I sent it through to him to let me know if there are any issues. Wasn't any on his part. I gave it through to Louisa to make sure there were no planning issues, and there were no planning issues, so...
Just a query, not really knowing Hamilton Plains like I should do, and I've been around the spur, how far is it from Christine Russell's house?
Fairway.
Chris goes one way and
the spur goes the other way. I've orientated myself.
Yeah,
thank you.
Councillor Archer?
I imagine, Mayor, if Stephen could answer this for me, that there will be a sign on the fence so the neighbours can object and have their views heard. Are there all these development things right there?
The answer to that is no, because
ah.
it's Crown land. Ah. So Crown land have had a request to actually
like a normal development application where the neighbours can come and have a whinge.
No.
Right.
Okay, Councillor, all right, was the second the mover. Any other comments, councillors, before I go back to the mover? Okay, would you like to close, Councillor Hines?
No, that's fine. It's all fairly straightforward.
Thank you. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. And that is carried. Very good. 21.2. Mover, please. Councillor Miller, Councillor Merchant. Mover, comments please.
I'm surprised that we haven't had anyone with the community development special committee. I gather it's been advertised.
Oh yes, it was advertised.
I have spoken to John Stevenson prior to this and he said he was very interested, so I'm glad to see his name up. But economic.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were talking about that one.
No, no.
Sorry.
But how can we get people involved in this? This is what we need to do to look at how we can get.
That's what I'm asking.
When we advertised it, did we put in what it actually means, like as a community development? I should imagine you would have done.
When we advertised it, we advertised it that it included the terms of reference, not in the advertisement, but people were able to ring in or go on the website, get the details. It's not a great surprise, to be honest with you. We went through to try and do a swimming pool committee, had no interest from the community. It's just that.
It shows who's interested in the community.
Well, it's not so much that it doesn't show interest. It's the simple fact is sometimes people like to be given a bit of a jar, and that's the reason why I put it up. It's probably prudent that council talk to a few people, find out what their views are, and then come back to us with those that are interested. It's no sense in having ones on there that are only putting their hand up to be on it, that if they're not going to achieve anything.
So, question, General Manager, do we put this recommendation through as is at the moment?
Well, I put it up tonight on the basis that I thought you'd come to me with a heap of names that people were really interested, but apparently that's not the case.
So we'll still put the recommendation.
So
can we put the recommendation through and re-advertise, or?
I think we've advertised. I think all we're doing is stay of execution in regards to another ad. I think you really need to come back to me and say, these are the people that are interested. That's my preference.
So with the current recommendation?
Yeah, John Stevenson, and that was based on the fact that we met with him, Damien and I met with him. I raised it, he made some comment and I said, well, we have these committees, and he said he was interested. So on that basis, I put his name down.
Okay, so it was moved by Councillor Miller, second by Councillor Meacham.
Yes, I'd recommend that we accept, we pass this motion and we put it as another agenda item. By all means, for those of us to go out and try to headhunt
that's exactly
for additional people, it makes sense.
That makes sense.
Just remind me, Steve, please, what's the term that they're appointed for? How long? I know it's probably in the documentation I just...
Well, had. It was for a two-year term.
Two-term, okay, good.
But quite clearly where we sit now, we're so close to the next election.
Yeah.
I still think it probably should be for a two-year term.
Yeah. I'm fine with that because it also gives a bit of continuity between councils.
Yeah, that was the reason why we had it.
Thank you.
Are we done yet?
I'm only two.
You got the door for it raised.
I might have two people to go on.
All councillors are encouraged to come back with names, but at this point it's a recommendation moved by Councillor Miller, second by Councillor Meacham. Councillors have spoken to it. Back to Councillor Miller to close.
Would it be wise to do one at a time instead of trying to do two?
I'd prefer to get them both sorted out.
It's our job now to then get find somewhere.
Yeah, it's the councillor's job to get about and do that. Councillor Miller, you've closed that.
I have.
Councillor's job.
All right, up for the recommendation. In favour of the current recommendation, please raise your hands. No one against, that is carried. Very good.
You've got a supplementary.
Consideration of supplementaries. Be the notice for Councillor Meacham. Okie dokie. Councillor Meacham would obviously move it.
I'll second it.
And Councillor Cassidy seconded. Councillor Meacham, would you like to speak to this?
I don't want to force Councillor Archer or Councillor Honor to sit down again, so I'll make this really brief. I just recommend that we get this. This is an excellent writing. I didn't include the author, who was Michael Walls, who really knows his stuff technically.
Yes.
And you missed the Zoom conference the other day, but Steve, you heard it said, you know, maybe we don't want to be seen as colluding. Well, I think colluding is exactly what we do want to illustrate here. So we take the technical details out of that correspondence, turn it into our submission, and then it's mutually supported. That's my take. Yeah, please. Sound okay? And Katrina could do a redraft, get it out to the special subcom, we'll have a look over and then get it signed by the mayor and all. Sound okay?
Okay. Alrighty, so those for
Robert,
that recommended.
I've got nothing
else.
Councillors, any comments?
No.
Back to Councillor Meacham to close.
No, that's good. Thanks for your support. Good.
Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Councillor Archer, are you in favour?
No, yes.
So it's carried.
Thanks, everyone.
Get out of here.
The meeting, interesting meeting, closed at 8:02.
Oh, maybe that's 2:00.